The reading is taken from Luke chapter 6, verses 17 to 36. And if you want to find it, it's in page 1033 of the Church Bibles. Blessings and woes. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who ill-treat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Not an easy passage at all. Beautiful to hear. Very, very difficult to live. In a way, this is, for many people around the world, the mark of Christianity or the mark of Christ. Love your enemies. In the Old Testament, it was love your neighbor. And when you go to Israel, you see a lot of stickers on cars that says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And if you ask anyone there, "Who is my neighbor?" they will tell you, "The Jew. A Jew's neighbor is a Jew. If you ask a Muslim, who's your neighbor, say, my Muslim brother. But when you ask a Christian, who's your neighbor, can we answer the same way that Jesus wants us to answer? I want to go in this talk to something that Jesus repeated continuously. As your father, he was making a contrast between their fathers, and your father. See, my name is Labib, Ode, Ibrahim, Suleiman, Madanat. My son's name, Matthew, or why Matthew? Katie is here. My daughter's name, Katie, is Katie, Labib, Ode, Ibrahim, Madanat. In Jordanian passports, we used to have the name of four sections: the person's own name, the father, the grandfather, the great-grandfather, and then the family or the tribe. And that makes someone's name, not just your first name. So my name, within my name, I have now the name of my father and the name of my grandfather. It's part of my name. If somebody will write a check for me just by my name and my family's name, in Jordan, the bank will reject that check. You'll have to have at least your father's name on the check and then your family's name. We hold the name of our father. In the Middle East, in the culture there, that is so very normal. It's so very normal to have that name. And we have also, as Arab Christians, a very strong sense of family history. To the point that within a number of Christian families or tribes, they can trace back their fathers and great-great-great-grandfathers even to the time before Muhammad came to Arabia, the prophet of Muslims. By name, a very strong lineage of whose son. And we see this also in the Bible. Jesus is coming to us, to the disciples, and establishing a very clear point to them. There is your father and their fathers. Saying to them, for their fathers did so to the false prophets. They were so good to them. Their fathers were so horrible to the true prophets. And you should be like your father. He's establishing a point of reference. He's establishing where belonging lies. He's establishing my identity. Our Father's name. And so Jesus in the Lord's Prayer say, our Father. Our Father. Abinu in Hebrew, Sheba Shamayim. Abana alladhi fi samawat. Our Father. Here is the reality that should govern everything that follows. Because he is our father, because we hold his name, we are called to live a life according to his principles, according to him and how he is treating us as his children. He is our Father. You cannot be a Christian without God being your Father, holding His name. So the Word of God comes to us and Jesus says, do all of those things. Excuse me, like your Father. Like your Father. I can't. So it is not about being nice. It's not only about trying to make the world a better place. It's not only about having to practically deal with an issue of conflict and try to reach some point of middle ground and so on. And it has almost nothing to do with the response of the other side. It has nothing to do with whether your enemies, whoever they are, those who persecute you, those who are horrible to you, whether they deserve your love or not, deserve your forgiveness or not, whether it will be taken in the right way or if they will ridicule you, whether they will even take advantage of you or not, or change their attitude. It has nothing to do with that. All have to do with belonging to our Father. And if anything else we do, we are betraying His name. It is tough. It is tough. I was at the house of one of the Hamas leaders in the Gaza Strip. And by the way, that's not throwing like a big statement like, oh, I've been to a dangerous place. It's not an unusual thing at all. If you go to the Gaza Strip, it's normal. And there was a situation where a group of militants in the Gaza Strip opposed Hamas in a terrible way, and they hid in a mosque. So Hamas sent their forces, stormed the mosque, and killed all of the people there, 70 people. They just killed all of them. And so we were talking about this to Dr. Mahmoud Zahar and said to him, isn't there a place for forgiveness? I mean, give them a chance. Isn't there a place for forgiveness? He said, yes, but only for those who deserve it. Only for those who deserve it. This is not the way Jesus is teaching us about the Father. So many times we have to look for signs that people might deserve it or not. The Word of God is clear. Forgive. Give away your right for revenge. And with forgiveness comes the word blessing and life. Love, forgive, bless. These are all components of life. Hate, revenge, curse. Those are all components of death. Our Father is the Father of life. We are people of life. And this is what we are supposed to bring wherever we are. Do we bring life? By His grace, I say amen. He leaves us with no choice. He leaves us with no choice. And this is our calling. So remember every time that you are called to live this line, this cross that Christ gave us. That it's not about trying to hit a certain moral bar. It is basically, foundationally, it is in the core of it, remembering, recognizing, I cannot emphasize this more, that we belong to our Father, that we carry His name. This is where our identity lies. Okay? With this as well, come another point, another issue. The same way like your Father, by living out this reality, we remember where we come from. We remember where we came from. If we do not live this life of loving our enemies, forgiving and letting go, soon we will take for granted God's forgiveness for us in Christ. And sin becomes an easy way of life. We even might stop feeling it. Confession becomes a routine. I believe we need, this is maybe part of sharing in the suffering of Christ, is part of it is try to, don't budge away, don't run away from taking that cross, from feeling the nail of forgiving someone you know that maybe they deserve hell to fall down from heaven and eat them up. And you forgive. I believe only then we will really appreciate the forgiveness of God in Christ for us. And so this is the place for us to recapture the wonder of the cross by carrying it. Carrying it is not a form of self like mortification in inflicting on us some emotions and some pain and whatever. Live it out. How much more in the Middle East we need that? How much more? I did not hear one politician in the Middle East. I did not see one peace process, one initiative for trying to bring a solution to any crisis that the word forgiveness was mentioned. Not once. No wonder it's all failing. No wonder. And then we as a Christian minority in the Middle East can easily come into the place of a persecuted minority. We want to preserve ourselves. We want to look at our own only. And with everything that is happening and with the stories, whether real or exaggerated, then the rage, the anger that burns in us against what Islamist extremists are doing, will it leave in us any bit of place to be what our Father wants us to be? To forgive and to love. So what does love mean? It's not like, oh, I feel so, this deep desire in my heart to get Abu Qatada and hug him and give him a kiss. Or to see some ISIS terrorist and give him a bar of chocolate. That's not the love we're talking about. That love is really with everything in your being, you seek life for those people. And first and foremost, life eternal. Because without it, without coming to know Christ, there is no life. It is death forever. The first point of real love is doing everything we can to bring fallen human beings like us back to reconcile with their Father through Jesus Christ. This is This is the point. This is the point. This is the focus. We want them to come to the Father so they become our brothers and sisters. We want them to come to the Father so we become one family. Because who I am, when did I deserve anything? It was all His mercy. How can I decide that my sins are so forgivable when other people's wrongdoings are not? Because it's all actually an act of God's mercy. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. The other point is also to identify. Jesus is saying to us and to the people He spoke to, don't close your hearts. Woe to you who are happy now, who are fulfilled, who are satisfied, who are rich, who are whatever. This is not a message to St. Mary's. Come on. What is this? What's wrong? You want us to be those poor and miserable and hungry people? That's what you want us to be, Jesus? No. He's saying that we've lost. Woe to us if we have lost our ability to identify with those who are hungry as if we are hungry. With those who are sad as if it is our own sadness. With those who are homeless as if we are homeless. With those who are dirty and thrown outside society as if we are them. He wants us to recapture that sense of identifying with human, with humanity's misery. So that when we combine this identification with the belonging reality, with the security we have in God our Father, we are motivated, we are mobilized in mission. Every bit of our life becomes, I want them to know my Father. And I want to live this life, my Father's life out for everyone around me. It can easily be an emotional message, but it's a messy one as well. But it's a glorious one. It's a glorious one. As well. This is the message that we need to keep giving out. In the Middle East especially. In the church. Everyone, whoever we face. Forgive. Love your enemies. The other thing is we can easily make it such a big category, a collective category that does not require us to do any personal, to have any personal implication. Easily said, oh, we can love collectively. But it's much more than that. It will have to come to the place of the personal, the individual in our lives. Let us try and land this a little bit also here. This does not only apply outside. I don't know if they said that before, I repeat this. This is not fresh baked bread. I'm taking it from the freezer. Sometimes the first place to learn love your enemy is inside the church. Because we still have our fallen nature, part of who we are, our rough edges. And sometimes some pitiful things can get out of us, the strongest emotions. Ouch. Ouch. Inside the church, inside the family. On every level, we are called to be children of our Heavenly Father. But there's no life more fulfilled and richer than this one. Pray for us, and let's pray for each other to take this challenge and say, whenever we say our Father, whenever we say our Father, we remember what that means. But you know what? I will not trade it for anything in the world. I will not trade it for anything in the world. Whatever it costs, whatever it costs, I always want to be his child, and I want him to be my Father. Amen.